And we'll have a quick summary of what we've said so far. Okay, let's get round into the circle again, and we'll look at look back at those green sheets. Okay, so far we've said that in terms of our kids going on with the Lord, it's all by the grace of God, and there are no guarantees. We looked a little bit about what we won't be covering, so we're not talking about, what do we say, how to tell if your teenager was switched at birth. We want to say, look, you know, we're not alone. Every parent kind of looks at the teenage years with a certain degree of trepidation, and there are folks who have been through it and have come out the other end. What we want to think Christianly about bringing up our children and about the teenage years, and we want to help them to think Christianly about it as well. So, for instance, so we've looked at some of those books that are available. We thought that Anne Benson's book, which uses a lot of Proverbs, is actually quite a helpful book to be looking at. And then we thought a little bit about praying for our kids and what we pray for and what the most significant things are that we pray for, and actually that their Christian growth and development, all the things that those issues we've talked about there in that little game are significant things that we'd want them to avoid, and we would want to pray about those things too. I think the key thing, though, the absolutely key thing, is their Christian growth and development. And in number six there, it says, and just simply love them unconditionally. In March 2008, Time magazine described British youth as unhappy, unloved, and out of control. And if there's one thing I want to say this afternoon, it's this: love them. Okay, love them, and love them unconditionally. They need to know that whatever of these things on the table happens, we're still going to love them. Okay, I don't care any of this stuff. You may be into crack cocaine and all the rest of it, we will still love you. You may get pregnant, we will still love you. You may do, you might be a 17-year-old son who brings home a boyfriend who's 31, we will still love you. Or a 17-year-old daughter who becomes a Buddhist, we will still love you. And they need to know that. And they need to know that absolutely. And the love is unconditional, okay? It doesn't depend on what they've done or them deserving it or their behavior, anything like that. It is absolutely unconditional love. And we do that, why? Because God loved us first. We love because he first loved us. That's why we love them. Sometimes it's a real pain, isn't it? Sometimes you feel anything like loving them when going through a bad spell or something like that. But that's what we need to do. We love them, whatever. Okay, and that can be hard work. It can be very hard work. I've got a couple of bumper stickers. Employ a teenager while he still knows everything. And you can always tell a teenager, but you can't tell him much. Even when they're doing that and telling you how to run your life and can't believe how stupid you are and so on, then we still love them. That is the fundamental thing. And you still love them when they're coming up. And of course it changes, doesn't it? So isn't that a thing about parenting? You know, once you've worked out how to be in my case, a dad of a six-year-old, they're seven and the goalposts have moved. And, you know, once they're 12 and they're suddenly they're 13. And I'm finding it now once you've worked out how to be a dad of a 22-year-old who's single, suddenly I'm trying to work out how to be a dad of a 22-year-old who's married and so on. And he's 24 now. But the goalposts change all the time, don't they? But we make mistakes. Sometimes we make really big mistakes, but we have to keep on loving them. Absolutely fundamental. Priorities, spouse, children, everything else. The best way to love your children is to love your husband or your wife. That's the thing they need most from you, is to love their mum or their dad. I know that can be really hard, can't it? And actually, for those of us involved in Christian ministry, I know there are a few of us here in one way or another. Well, we're all involved in Christian ministry, aren't we, actually? Who cares if we're ordained or not or whatever? We're all involved in Christian ministry. And actually, the key thing is for them to know that they are more important than that for our kids of whatever age, that they're more important than the work we're doing for the Lord. Now, it may be that we're very busy and so on, but they still need to know, in whatever practical ways we can do it, as they're growing up and in their teenage years as well, that they're more important than that. Sometimes it's sacrifices. I came across once a book which said, In our family, you know, I'm a minister of a church, and I'll go out to an evening meeting once, two nights on the trot maybe, three nights on the trot very occasionally, four nights on a trot to an evening meeting only if everyone in the family agrees to it, and we will ask them if they would agree to that. And if anyone says no, then we don't do it. I find that quite bound to be. You've just been there, haven't you? Yeah, yeah. But it was quite interesting. But that principle, and in terms of saying, you know, I will do what you, I just found it very interesting. Yeah, you might not agree to it. It is, yeah, it is American, and but I thought, well, yeah, given the number of evening meetings and control of diaries and things, but that goes for everyone, doesn't it? We have people here who are out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, and working up in London. I mean, that's crazy, absolutely crazy, and you know, you need to be around, and just stuff to do with your kids, which is linked to number 8, accessibility. You've got to be available, whatever age your children are now. You've got to be available, do stuff with them. I hope they would agree with me if they were sitting here, but I've never closed my study door and said to them, I don't want to see you. It was always, I mean, it may be closed because I need quiet, or as quite much quiet as I can get, but I've never ever said, no, go away, I'm too busy. If they come in, then I want to talk to them. It's sometimes very frustrating because I've got to get this finished, but they need to know. Daddy's in his study, please don't disturb me. No, you've got to be available, and even if that means we're a bit less effective. How that works out in an ordinary job, it's a bit more difficult, isn't it, if you're out of the building for out of home for 10 hours a day or something. But it needs to make sure that, I once heard Steve Chalk say a long time ago, but he said, when I get home, my kids need to know that I am absolutely the fundamental, you know, they are my priority. I'm not going to come home and sit in my armchair and say, I don't want to talk to you. They become my life and my ministry and my commitment when I get home. And once the kids go on to bed, then Corny, his wife, would be, you know, that would be his focus. And he'd say, I come home and I work hard to be the best dad I can be and the best husband I can be when I come home. We may have some questions about some Steve's theology. He was saying that a long time ago, before we would think he had kind of gone off into a things he would rather he wasn't saying and believing. Number 9, once the real work starts when they're not children, when they are children rather. I don't want to depress you, but if if there are problems now, it was probably a long time ago that the roots of those were probably there. So I think we need to, when they're young, we need to do things like set boundaries, discipline. If we're no good on discipline with our kids when they're young, we're not going to be able to do it when they're teenagers. We've got to have the fundamental things in place early. So it's if you've got mum and dad both there. So for instance, number 9 discipline. Children need to do what they're told, don't they? Number of times I'm in a supermarket and I see people and their kids not doing what they've been told by their parents, and I just want to get alongside and say, just insist that they do what you tell them to do. You know, if you're not if they're getting away with it now, you're just making trouble later on. Do it then. You're sowing seeds and you're helping yourself later on. Mean what you say. Back up your spouse. with the kids, isn't it? You know, well, you don't get the ones out of your dad, you go and see your mum, or vice versa. And I think we need to expect to be obeyed. We don't want to threaten something and then not do it. So if you do it again, I'm going to, and then of course they do it again, and then they get away with it. No. If you never make a threat that you can't fulfil, for instance, unless it's a ridiculous threat, you know. That's just discipline when I was a teacher, I think. And other things, aren't they? Like never, ever, ever embarrass them in front of their friends. Never, ever, ever tell them off in front of their friends. If you need to tell them off, get them out of the room and do it outside. And then do it quietly and then go back in. But never, ever bawl them off in front of their friends. Tell them off in private. Breathe first, count to 10, and then say what you need to say, and so on. All those things. You know all that stuff far better than me, I'm sure. Number 11, treat them as adults even when you know they're not. They think they're mature, more mature than they are, and they hate being looked down on. Do not patronise teenagers. You've got to treat them as adults. Give them responsibilities, even when you know they're going to foul things up. And I think that's one of the big things in Christian circles in recent years. We haven't given our teenagers responsibility. They need it. They need it. It helps them to grow up. It's good for us. It's good for them. It's good for our churches. It's good for them. Ask for their opinion. Tell them they're worthwhile. Tell them that they're valuable. And not just the good-looking ones. You know, the way you look gives you value. No, it's not. You tell your kids and you tell other people's kids that they're valuable and so on. What time do we finish? Is it 2:30?
20 past 2?
No. Was it?
Yeah.
Is it ready?
We'll
what?
We don't
I think then it's a 15-minute break.
All right. I thought I'm working on this on the basis it was 2:30. 20 past. Are you happy to go on a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll whisk through and finish it off if you like. I'm sorry about that. I was working on 2:30. Okay. Do things. Get a like going to church. Go to church as a family. Sit together. Even now, when my kids are here, we'll sit together. And we'll sit together as a family. Go to the cinema. Get a DVD, but make it special. Have a meal together. Family holidays. Create good memories. We still do kind of special things. So we've got tickets for England Samoa, for instance, in 2 weeks' time. And England All Blacks will be kicking off in 10 minutes, by the way. So if you get to hear the score, please don't tell me because I'm recording it. But, you know, we'll do special things. So they're all over the country. So we'll pay for them to come down. We'll go out for a curry or something afterwards and so on. And we'll make a good day of it. So you make a special thing. So do things together, like going to church, for instance. Time is a key thing. It's not all a matter of organisation. There are three lies, aren't there? It's all a matter of organisation. Yeah, it's just a matter of organisation. Providing I'm organised, it'll be okay. No. You just need to give them time. Second lie is one day I'll have more time. You're never less busy than you are now. Okay? Just give them time now. Third lie, I have to work long hours to give my kids the best. Nonsense. The best you can give your kids is yourself. And no one ever. What did Rob Parsons say? Something about The Office, wasn't it?
No one ever said on his deathbed.
I wish I'd meant to spend more time in it. Yeah, absolutely right, isn't it? Just give them time. There's no substitute. The power of touch, sorry, praise, encouragement. I once saw a guy in his 50s. His son, who was about 25, his dad arrived and they hugged each other. That was a long time ago. I thought, I want to do that with my kids when they get old. So now, even with my oldest son, who's not very demonstrable, it's hugs when we see each other. And I think that's a really good thing, actually. I do it with all the boys and, of course, our daughter as well. Do you foul things up? You muck up? Apologise. Nothing like an apology. Nothing like saying, I'm really sorry I got that wrong. And dads particularly, I don't know about you, I find it really hard to say sorry. But actually, to say sorry to your kids is a very powerful thing. Mealtimes, grow tradition, so mealtimes, we eat together, no phones at a table. That's a rule in our house, no phones at a table. Sunday lunch, we always have Sunday lunch together, roast Sunday lunch, and we almost always have other people there as well. Eat together as a family. Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He's a Mormon, so don't take too much notice of it, but he does say some helpful things. And he actually even notices there in his Highly Effective 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families says that highly effective families eat together. There is something about eating together. Not in front of the telly, around the table, so you can talk to each other. Talk with care. Be aware of how they understand your words. How's your day been? They can find that really threatening if there's baggage there. So be careful about that. What are you doing tonight? You're not going out all night, are you? You are going to be back in time, you know, setting a curfew and so on. So be aware of how they take those. Be careful of reckless words. Proverbs 12, 18, 15, 1, 17, 27. Words are like toothpaste. You can't get them back in again. So be careful. And whatever you do, don't give another example of, you know, well, your friend John does this. Don't give examples of other teenagers. Don't spend all your time on one issue, and don't hide away. Proverbs 17:17 talks about friends and how important friends are. I'm not sure parents can be friends to them, but we can get alongside and spend time and build up a wonderful friendship with them. No pressure. Let them make their mistakes, Chris. Have you got to go and sort out some music? Have you got to go and sort the music? Yeah. Okay. Let them make mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Let your kids make mistakes. It's no big deal, okay? If your kids get drunk, don't worry about it, okay? I reckon every teenager gets drunk at some point. Don't make a big deal about it. Have a quiet word. Our kids have had too much to drink. I said to them, you won't do that again, will you? And they said no. I said, okay, it's fine. Problem over. All right? They will make mistakes. That's what they do. They're not wise. They need to grow in wisdom. And they will do stupid things. They will kind of crash the car. Doesn't matter. Okay? It's only a car. You're all right. That's fine. They will break the speed limit and get caught speeding or something like that. Well, you won't do that again, will you? And so don't worry about it. Just, they will make mistakes. That's okay. So no pressure from us. Wisdom is what's needed. Folly is the default. Teenagers, their default position is folly, stupidity, lack of wisdom, and they need to grow in wisdom. Unhelpful friends, bad habits, laziness, stupidity, ill discipline, those are all things that kids will have, okay? Teenagers will have. And Proverbs 22:15, if there's folly in a child's heart, discipline will drive it away, effectively is what it's saying. So I'm sorry, we're whizzing through this very quickly. Family Bible times. We didn't really do that. We read the Bible one-to-one with them. And actually, there's precious little biblical warrant for having family Bible times. But instead, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, for instance, and verses 6 and 7, where it's talking about having a natter along the road, and what if your son asks you this and so on, we have loads of times when we're having theological debates and questioning and thinking about sermons and so on with our kids, because it is part of the culture of what we do in our house. We're seeking to live it out as an example and so on, and we're seeking to talk about Christian stuff. So we see something on the news, we might make a comment on it, and so on. So we've encouraged them when they were young, and we read the Bible with them one to one and so on, and prayed with them, of course, and we pray as family and whatnot. But we haven't sat down and great big, oh, well, you know, we're going to have our family Bible time now. Maybe you think that's appalling, but we have much more kind of laid back about it, really, and it's just kind of part of what we do as a family, is that we talk and pray and, you know, all that stuff, really. I could talk more about that. And your example, okay, really important. Your behaviour, your language. When the kids come down for an early shift at the King Alfred Leisure Centre here, and I'm downstairs having my quiet time, I think that probably says something to them. So our example is important. Hospitality as a family, Sunday lunch, the way I drive the car, and say, I'm getting impatient again, aren't I? Sorry, as they make that comment. Oh, Dad, come on, you're always getting fed up at traffic lights, aren't you? And I said, yes, because they always go red. Traffic lights, about 90% of traffic lights turn red before you get there, don't they? But, you know, how do you deal with that and recognising that? Pray for and nurture at least one significant other. It's often a youth leader or... we've got a 79-year-old youth leader who's here today, who's been the most significant person in the lives of all three of our boys. I thank God for Dennis Harwood. Amazing. Fantastic guy. So do pray for that. Make camp an absolute priority. Ventures, camp in the summer. You do a year's work in a week. Find out the date of the venture, then book your summer holiday. That's got to make that absolute number one, fundamental in their Christian lives. Let them grow independent. Some people don't allow their kids to grow up. They're kind of still mothering. I think especially it's a mum thing. You've got to let your kids grow up and you've got to let them go. From cradle to adulthood, the whole thing is a growing independent. It seems to accelerate through the teenage years. But it is all the way through. It's a growing independence, and we've got to let them grow up. We've got to let them move away from us. That's why it's so hard when you know first day at school, isn't it? You know, and which mums and increasingly dads, I think, drop them at the school gate and they're choking back the tears when they go. And when you drop them at uni and you drive away and they're there and you're thinking, and then when they get married and so on, it's a growing independent all the time, and we've got to let them go. And we grow up and kind of set sail. Of course, they never stop being your children. A number of people I've talked to fairly recently whose grown-up children have gotten to problems, and they're there for them and they're helping them. That's really significant. But that's so never stop being our children, but we've got to let them grow up and we've got to let them go. Sorry, I've talked too much, but we never say goodbye because they're always our children. That's what I'm saying.